opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Here's the question I asked on Friday night, and I think this is a legitimate question. And I'm not trying to be Texans hater here, although I am now. I'm officially Texans hater. This team is garbage. This franchise is garbage.
It's taking you a while.
How good would Davis Mills have to be for the Texans not to draft a quarterback with their top three pick that they're going to have next year? Like, what would he have to do?
I'll answer that for you. He'd have to be good enough for them to not have a top three pick.
Now, here's something that I saw on Twitter.com that kind of frustrated me. Don't complain about the Texans not taking defense on day three. You're not drafting starters on day three anyway. Well, actually, the Kansas City Chiefs, the year they won the Super Bowl, 8 of their 22 starters were day three or undrafted. So you've got to hit on your day three picks, especially this year. You need to make something out of these guys.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz.
Yeah, baby.
Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click the like. You're good to go. Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You missed the first 2 hours. All draft, baby. All draft all the time, including Lance Erline. So, no Eric today?
I think we're supposed to have, we're going to have him on the phone.
Okay.
But we can burn through some of these teams.
Yeah, we
stopped at the LA Raiders.
Yeah.
LV Raiders, my bad.
LV Raiders now.
Why did everyone think Alex Leatherwood was such a reach?
I don't know.
They acted like it was egregious, and literally a month ago he was in every mock draft as a first rounder. I don't know what happened, but
even the people criticizing say, "Well, I had him as like in the 20 range." Well, he went 17.
It was very odd.
I like the guy,
and then I think they got value in Trevor Mooring, who I thought was like borderline first round draftable guy, and he goes in the second. And then they got Nate Hobbs, who apparently the Texans wanted. I think they got three safeties in the draft is a little bit odd.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it seems like maybe an overreaction to how poor the Raiders draft was.
I don't think it's overreacting to say the Chargers had a great draft.
No, I'm with him on that. I like Rashawn Slater. I like Asante Samuel Jr., and then they got a couple pass catchers in Trey McKitty and Josh Palmer. It's pretty good. Pretty good day for the Chargers, I would say. And obviously they've got a good young quarterback as it is. Things are looking up for them. The LA Rams, who never have a first round pick
ever again,
ever. But they get a small wide receiver in Tutu Atwell. Linebacker in Ernest Jones. They got Terrace Marshall. They could have had Terrace Marshall, and they took the 155-pound Tutu Atwell. I thought maybe that was odd. But again, Sean McVay, he's pretty good at this stuff. I'm guessing he'll find some gems out of this thing.
Maybe the only team to draft two Ernests?
Yeah, I think so. Ernest goes to jail. Halloween Ernest. I think trick or treat Ernest.
Yeah, something like that.
We talked with Lance about the Dolphins. The Dolphins were my favorite team in the draft. I thought that they just killed it. I thought Jalen Waddle. I told you before the draft, Jalen Waddle is my favorite of the three wide receivers. Jalen Phillips, I think, is outstanding, and I think he's got a good chance to be rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year. And then they got an offensive lineman, or an offensive tackle, and Liam Eikenberg they traded up for and got a nice tight end to go with him. I thought that they really killed this draft. And they should, because they had plenty of great picks. But five picks on day one and two. And I think they did what they wanted to do, which is put this roster over the top.
Only concern I would have, both Waddle and Phillips' injury histories.
Yeah.
And you know, if they can stay healthy, that's two monsters. The Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, Minnesota Vikings get Christian Darrisaw. They get Kellen Mond. Darrisaw, I thought, was... Hell, I thought that they could have taken him where they were, and they ended up trading down. So they end up getting what they want, trading down. Really good day for the Vikings, I thought. I thought they crushed it.
Yeah, and I think Mond's an interesting developmental guy behind Kirk Cousins. So
the New England Patriots, obviously the big story is they get a quarterback, and they didn't have to trade up, which I give them credit for. I'm sure they were itching, but they got the guy they wanted all along in Mac Jones. They get Christian Barmore, who I thought they got great value with. They got Ronnie Perkins from Oklahoma, who I thought they got great value with. I think that they just found value all over the place. I thought the Patriots killed it.
Yeah, and Ramondre Stevenson, who somebody asked us about last week, went about right where he should have. So I thought they had a very good draft. And you know, I don't want to say it's because Nick Caserio's not there anymore.
Yeah. The Nolens Saints, they are near the bottom for me. And no knock on, well, it is kind of a knock on Peyton Turner, who I think was a probably around maybe too early, but apparently very nice kid. I think Ian Book is a wasted draft pick. I don't think he can play in the NFL. I don't particularly like Pete Werner, the linebacker they got from Ohio State. I don't think they did a lot to make themselves better.
I'll just say I think Turner does have a lot of upside. He's got to stay healthy, and he's got to develop his pass rush moves a little better. And you know what? I trust the Saints to coach him up to do that. I think in a year or two, you're going to look back and say, okay, maybe that wasn't such a reach. But, you know, if he doesn't develop, then yeah, he is definitely.
Well, are you going to say something nice about Ian Book?
Never.
Okay, I don't think so.
Ian Book is garbage. He shouldn't even be a backup in the league.
And then the Giants are next. They pick up an extra first rounder next year, get some middle round picks, and they drop from 11 to 20. They get Kadarius Toney, who is, I don't know, he's good. I don't know that he is 20th in the draft good.
Apparently Urban Meyer wanted him badly.
I don't know. I thought that they did okay. I thought they got a couple pieces on defense. They get Aziz Ojulari, who's going to be a nice edge player. They get a decent corner in Aaron Robinson. I guess you have to count in that they got a first rounder in 2022 and take that away. And if you say that, pretty good day.
I would agree.
Zach Wilson leads the charge, and Elijah Moore, who's got a pretty decent, it looks like he's going to be pretty decent. Elijah Vera Tucker. I liked what the Jets did. I mean, I'm still not sold that Zach Wilson is going to be as great as everyone thinks he is, but they trade back in to get Elijah Vera Tucker, who was the best guard in the draft, and we've seen more and more in recent years the priority being put on guard that wasn't there before. He looks like he's a real player. I think that the Jets did all right. If Zach Wilson hits, they did good. If he doesn't hit,
I like Elijah Moore. I like Michael Carter, too. Although they drafted two Michael Carters.
Yeah.
Also a first.
The Philadelphia Eagles, they give up a third-round pick to move up two spots to take Devontae Smith, basically saying Jalen Reagor, no, you ain't no good. What do you think of what the Eagles did?
There's a couple of things I like here. I like Devontae Smith, obviously. I love him. I like the move up to get him. I like Landon Dickerson. I think that's a guy who's going to play for a long time for you. I don't know what position, probably inside, but that's a good player. You know I love Kenneth Gainwell. I thought that was a good pick at 150. I think that's a guy who's going to be a breakaway running back for you. I actually going to give these guys a good grade. I'm pretty sure Holly's not going to want to hear that because of how much she hates Roseman, but I think they had a very good draft. And that was a smart move to move up those two spots because the Giants were going to take some.
Yeah. The Pittsburgh Steelers, Najee Harris, Pat Freiermuth, Kendrick Green, and Dan Moore. Build up some offensive line. You get a couple weapons for Ben, a tight end, and a running back. I'm not crazy about their draft, mostly because I don't like the idea of taking running backs that high. Especially, I think Najee Harris is in the NFL, I think he's just a guy. I mean, I think he's, I mean, there's not a lot of, I didn't, there's no running backs I would have taken in the first round of this draft. I mean, he may be the best of them, but I wouldn't have taken one in the first.
Well, the thing that always concerns me about these Alabama running backs is they're almost always 4 yards downfield before they're ever touched. And it's hard to gauge sometimes. And there's a reason that you've had some that haven't been very good, Trent Richardson and TJ Yeldon and guys like that. But you've also had some hits. I mean, Derrick Henry is as good as they come. I like this kid. I think he actually has a lot of skills beyond just being, you know, an Alabama running back. And I think he will give them a dimension where they can start running the football consistently again. So I like the pick. Back into the first round doesn't bother me if you think a guy might be special. And same thing with Eddie N. Not a move I would make, but if you think the guy's got a chance to be special, nothing wrong with the back end of the first round. I don't want these guys in the top 15.
The 49ers get Trey Lance. They get Aaron Banks, a guard from Notre Dame. Then they get Trey Sermon.
Love the Sermon pick.
I do, too. I like the safety. They got Talanoa Hufanga from USC. I like the running back. They got Elijah Mitchell. Really, all this boils down to is Trey Lance going to be what they think he's going to be? And we may not know that for 2 years.
Right.
So, I don't know. I can't say now if I mean, again, Kyle Shanahan's one of those guys that I trust to get the guy he wants. He's apparently got very high football intelligence. But this is going to be an incomplete grade for a while. And if Trey Lance isn't the real deal, this could be a pretty ugly draft.
But you know what? I bet you they have 4 or 5 players that they drafted later that will be contributors for him.
Probably so.
So, yes, obviously you have to wait and see what happens with Lance, but we shall see.
All right, 4 teams left. We got Seattle, Tampa, Tennessee, and football team. We'll get to them on the other side. I got to tell you guys about TGS Insurance. If you are looking for a way to save some coins, save some shillings, some shekels, some dollars, some bucks, some rubles, TGS can do it for you. They saved me over $1,000 a year on my homeowner's insurance. What? If you could save $1,000, why wouldn't you do it? I mean, unless you think $1,000 grows on trees. If you have a $1,000 tree at your house, don't worry about it. Most people could use that extra K a year. And TGS, it's so simple. All you got to do is send a text. You text the word money to 232323. They'll ask for your address. They've already done the shopping for you. They know what you could be paying. So compare that to what you are paying. If you like it, great. If you don't, no obligation. If you like it, they'll start the process right away. They'll get you out of your old policy and start you saving money right now. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Start saving today with TGS Insurance.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Mott says, I believe you're looking at the draft as if we've got competent coaching. If I'm Nick Caserio, I'm not doing anything special either with this coaching staff. Boy, I don't know where you got that impression. Have either of us said anything positive about the coaching staff today?
No.
Okay, just checking. I'm not sure how that happened. Let's squeeze in Alex real quick, and then we'll blow both through the rest of these teams. What's up?
Hey, fellas. Appreciate y'all having me on. Just wanted to ask, at what point do y'all think we're going to see Davis Mills? This season, next season, when? Well, I'm about to hang up. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, my guess is it's we're probably going to see him at some point this season. And honestly, if you're the Texans, besides stunting his growth, which is entirely possible, you've got no reason not to play him. If they took him thinking that he is legit the quarterback of the future, throw him out there. Let's see. Because you're likely to have a high pick again, and you need to know sooner than later if you need to take a quarterback or not.
I would say I'll set the over-under at 4 games.
That he starts?
Yeah. I kind of feel like what they probably will do is start off 0-4, and that's when they'll decide, hey, sorry, Mr. Taylor. We need to try something
different. Oh, so you're saying he starts, he's like that Tyrod Taylor plays 4 games.
Yeah. And,
okay, I thought you were saying that Mills plays 4.
No. Tyrod Taylor plays the first 4 games, and they obviously suck, and they're 0-4, and that's when you make the move, because then you still get a good 13-game schedule okay. for him. So.
All right, we're ready to break back into this thing?
Yeah, let's dive back.
Seahawks almost, they almost didn't draft.
Somehow they had fewer picks than the Texans.
3 players. And most of that's because they traded for Jamal Adams.
Right.
So there's something to that. I don't know a lot about any of the guys they got. I saw Stone Forsythe, the guy who was their last pick. They took him in round 6. He is a massive dude and looks like he's got a lot of tools to be an offensive tackle, but who knows? Dwayne Eskridge was the receiver that they took in the 2nd round. And they could have had Terrace Marshall there. I don't know how I feel about Seattle. I would say not good.
Yeah, Trey Brown's decent. He's just a little undersized.
Yeah.
So
the Tampa Bay Bucks. Hey, listen, Kyle Trask is the kind of quarterback I could see sitting behind Brady and actually turning into something. I think it's a good pick. They're in a position where, now, mind you, they're in a position where they can keep drafting for this year, which means Kyle Trask is not a pick that you would take if you wanted someone to play this year.
Right.
I would have continued to try to work for this year, because the Bucks in the next year or two, they're going to fall off, and their roster is going to fall apart, and you're not going to have a whole lot built around them. So Kyle Trask seemed like maybe sort of a bells and whistles type pick, but they're the Super Bowl champs. They can afford to do that. And they've had a good offseason. They're keeping all their vets. I'd say they did all right here.
They've got all their starters back, and obviously the plan is to make another run this year, so they could afford to do something like that. And I like a lot of the guys they picked up. And just as an aside, Grant Stewart from UH was their last pick. He should be really good on special teams. So
the Tennessee Titans take a very, very, very injury-prone Caleb Farley, although he is 6'2 and runs a sub 4.4, so he is a problem when he's healthy, and he addresses a need, but it's a risky play, and considering that the guy that they picked in the 1st round last year is already off the roster and probably out of the league, maybe the move would have been, slow down. Let's take a safe play here. No, they're balls out. And I think that if it pays off, I mean, he could be a really good player, but his injury history does scare me. I like Elijah Molden.
Yeah.
And I like Rashad Weaver as an edge. So I would say Titans did okay. Obviously, if Caleb Farley is injured, then it's no good, and he's likely to be injured. That part scares me.
Yeah, I think you say that about a lot of guys, especially coming off this short season. You just don't know about the health of a lot of them. You didn't get the time to spend with them. I think if he works out, it's really good. But if not, eh.
And what were your thoughts on the football team? The last of our guys, last of our teams here.
Yeah, I like the kid they took out of Kentucky. I think he's going to be helps that defense, which is already pretty good. I thought Sam Cosmi might go a little higher than that.
I thought so too.
I don't know how he's going to work out. Beyond that, I think they got some pretty good depth guys, and you know, don't hate what they did. You know, not the best of the groups, but not bad.
Yeah, I mean, if Sam Cosmi is an actual left tackle, then getting him in the 2nd round is a nice little value. I think that's he may take a little time to get there, but Dyami Brown out of North Carolina is a fun player. I don't know if he'll be good, but he's very fun. He's going to be explosive when they can get the ball to him. It seems like the football team decided to go for guys who may be good down the road rather than guys who are going to be good right now, which is an interesting strategy because obviously that division is just so winnable right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but I also don't dislike that strategy because you have more question marks about these guys than ever before because of the small sample size, because of all the reasons that you couldn't spend time with them. So I would rather take potential and gamble as opposed to, you know, well, I mean, because really, even the ones that are safe, you're kind of gambling.
Yeah.
You don't really know.
All right, there's thoughts on all 32 NFL amateur draft. That's our grades, I guess. Well, although we didn't grade them. It's funny how angry people get that you're grading drafts after the draft, even though before the draft, all people want to do is rank prospects. It's very odd.
Yeah, I don't feel the need to grade things because I could say, I don't really like this, or I can say, yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
And because you don't know yet. You don't know how it's going to turn out. And you know what? The Texans may surprise us all. Davis Mills may be rookie of the year.
I'm still pissed. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm still pissed the Patriots got Christian Barmore.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened.
That dude is going to be a stud.
I think so, too.
I really thought he'd go in the first round. That's when you're going to look back and go, how the hell did Patriots get him there?
By the way, did you see your Jags?
My beloved Jags.
Your beloved right. Jags.
Jaguars.
Signed Dylan Moses.
Oh, really?
He wasn't, I mean, now, if you throw out last season, throw out the last race, because he didn't look great last year at Alabama. But before he tore his ACL, that dude was like widely considered the best linebacking prospect in years. So it's kind of a high upside, low. I mean, now a no risk proposition as an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, I think it worries me that nobody took a shot on him late, you know, but. Yeah,
I don't know if it was injury stuff or what. But
it has to be, right? Yeah, that, or maybe he's Deshaun-ing it somewhere.
I don't know, but yeah, I thought that was like, I mean, I think he was the biggest name of the undrafted free agents, and your Jags get him.
And yes, Wiltz, I do grade the Texans GM after every move he makes. It's not the same thing as grading a team's draft, which is going to play out over the next 2 or 3 years. I grade him with each move. He moves up or down. It's called a rating scale. It's very simple. It's like, okay, it's like when you're playing poker and you have a starting hand and somebody else has a starting hand and you're a 70% favorite. Well, another card comes out and suddenly you're 23%. You change as you go. That's how it works. It has nothing to do with the draft. They're not the same thing. Let's not do false comparisons.
The Texans get 4 undrafted free agents. That's all I've seen anyway. Damon Hazelton, wide receiver from Mizzou. A couple Aggie offensive linemen, Carson Green and Ryan McCollum, and then Marlon Williams from Central Florida. I feel like we talked about him last week.
Yeah, yeah. Don't hate him.
No, I don't hate him either.
And you know what? The Aggies had a pretty good offensive line, so I'm okay with Aggie offensive linemen.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it just feels like the Texans, when you look at everything that they did, it feels like they didn't really add anything impactful this entire offseason.
No, and the excuse that Caserio had that, well, we didn't have a lot of roster spots, so we didn't need a lot of draft picks. I mean,
yeah, but you have a lot of bad players.
Yeah, why don't you create
some roster spots?
I don't understand why you didn't just focus on picking up as many of those late round picks as possible, and maybe you get lucky and gamble a little bit on some upside guys. Instead, you got a bunch of special teams guys. So, and yeah, I use it. It's not a grade, guys. It's a rating. There's a big difference between a rating and a grade. All right, let's take a quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. I say I do, and half the time I don't.
For sports is ESPN 97.5.
Uh, something new.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. A couple things, and maybe we'll get to them more in depth tomorrow, but see, the Man U fans are trying to get rid of the Glazers to the point they're rioting?
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy
stuff. Not
only that,
they're going after Jay Glazer. Football insider.
I saw that.
And making his life miserable, which is funny.
Well, you know what? You shouldn't be related to those guys.
I don't think he is.
It doesn't matter.
I don't
have the same last name.
Yeah, sorry.
I had to take a lot of grief on Twitter when Mohammed Faour was an Iraqi general. I'm not sure Twitter existed then.
I don't know that it did either.
But we talked about the fight a lot last week, and Areola got the early knockdown, but
It looked like he was going to roll, and it all kind of came unwound in the later rounds. But that was an entertaining fight. I don't know if you got to sit and watch it, but I did. I was double screening, which I normally do because boxing fights always happen on Saturday and UFC events always happen on Saturday. So I was double screening, but I saw one of the best knockouts I've seen in a long time in the UFC, a spinning back elbow. And Dominic Reyes fell on the top of his, like, he got DDT'd in a pro wrestling match. I mean, my wife was like, oh my God, is he going to be okay? I was like, I don't know. He's not okay right now. Maybe it improves, but you talk about a dude just taking that guy just went in there and dominated that fight. He bullied and Dominic Reyes hit him a couple times good, but that was a about as dominant of a performance as you're going to see. So it was a fun night of fights overall. Boxing and MMA, and it's I think we'll have another one this weekend. We should.
What'd you think of the DQ and the chick fight?
I'm not crazy about DQ. I mean, but the fight was over. The fight had to end, so it was either a no contest or a DQ. And I guess really what it boils down to is, do you think that the foul was intentional? And I have a hard time saying it was, but I also have a hard time, like, you know, making a big case for her because she kicked the chick in the face illegally. So
she still doesn't even know what day it is.
No, at first it looked like, I mean, I don't know how that knocked her out like that. It didn't seem like that violent of a shot. But
I think
that chick just like flopped back.
Hit that one bone in the chin that apparently if you hit, it knocks somebody out. Like, I think the hard part of her heel hit her right there on the chin that just destroyed her brain, basically.
Yeah, well, apparently so.
So, one more draft Texans thing. I mean, can we all agree that because
the Texans had the best draft? Yes,
No. Because of the Davis Mills pick and the fact they have two other quarterbacks on the roster, there's no way in hell Deshaun Watson's ever playing for this team again.
I agree.
And I think he'll get suspended, and then he may come back and try to get paid, and they'll just
trade him.
If it's not past the trade deadline, if he misses a whole year, it's going to be next year before they trade him. But I think that was we all knew it, but you know, I this is officially the end of Tal Guy.
I think
as
so.
A Texan. So
yeah. And now the Texans have no motivation to get him back. I mean, they have motivation to get him back so they can trade him, but there's no real motivation to feel like we need this guy to play with us this year.
Gosh, how little leverage does Watson's agent have now when it comes to where they'll accept a trade to?
Oh, none. None, yeah.
So, it's more likely destination for Deshaun, Broncos, or the football team. I think those are two legitimate contenders.
I would say so, yeah.
And you know what? If you're a Broncos fan and Bears fan until the draft, any of these teams, Panthers, that you didn't have the draft capital to get him, this is the best thing that ever happened to you.
Dude, think about how smart the Dolphins are now.
Yeah.
The Dolphins, we were talking about the Dolphins giving up multiple first-rounders and Tua. Like, they're so much better off having not traded for Deshaun Watson right now. Their team is better. Like, it would have been a huge mistake.
Yeah, it would have. And now, I still
think the huge mistake sits on the Texans for not getting something done.
Yeah, well, that's now, it may be that if it's true that they knew about this early enough that they knew they couldn't do a deal once everything started breaking.
Yeah.
Because it would just get, you know, it wouldn't be official until the league year. So I don't know. But I think the, you know what, the Eagles are another team I would say would be interested.
Yeah.
So if I think all I have to do is wait this out, let him get these settlements done, which I assume is what's happening, which is why it's so quiet. We haven't seen Busby on Facebook talking about anything involving it. So, yeah, I think if I'm one of those teams and I sit back and the Texans get a nice haul for him, and their pick's going to be high enough because they're going to suck. So, yeah, if you still wind up getting a couple first-rounders and a couple second-rounders, okay.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I think I think in the end the Dolphins will be glad that they didn't make that deal, because I still think Tua can be a player.
I do too.
And
which is why I wanted the Texans to try to get him.
Yeah, yeah. I think because I think they could have been better off with all those picks and Tua, as opposed to even Deshaun before he was a towel guy. So, you know, I think a little bit of this will be interesting to see if Aaron Rodgers is going to try to force things, and if he is, or just not play. See, I think if he just decides to sit out a year, then that keeps the Watson price up. If he's the only one that's available. And you know, I don't know why the Raiders would want to do something like this. I keep hearing the Raiders for Rodgers. I don't know, man. Is Rodgers...
Does Rodgers put them over the top? I don't know that the Raiders are close enough that Aaron Rodgers makes them like... But... Hell, the Raiders right now, they've been knocking on the door of the playoffs, like winning a playoff game. I think Aaron Rodgers takes them over the hump of that.
Yeah, definitely.
So I can see them wanting him, but it's Derek Carr, I don't know how much longer he's signed for. That's got to be coming up, though. And if you feel like, okay, well, we're in our last couple of years with him, might as well take our last couple those last couple years and turn them into Aaron Rodgers. I could see them wanting to do that.
Yeah, I mean, really,
I don't know. That's if you're decided. Well, we're not going to re-sign Derek Carr, which my guess is they won't.
Yeah, they've got this year and next year for him.
Yeah, yeah. And
my guess is that if he doesn't win something by the end of this deal, they're not re-signing
him
anyway.
They can cut him next year with no dead money.
Yeah.
So basically, they.
So it makes sense.
But you know what though, his salary. For a starting quarterback, his cap number this year is $22 million. Next year, it's $19
million. Well, you don't have to sell me on him. You know what I think.
I know,
of Derek
but
Carr.
I mean that. I don't get it. I don't get why. I mean, now I could see Aaron Rodgers, but if you really went after Deshaun Watson and didn't want this guy, I'd sure take him back in a trade. But. Yeah, we'll see. Somebody asked Rain Man asked what team does Rodgers immediately put over the top. I would say Denver. Pretty close.
Yeah. Man, I would have said San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco was a definite. You know what? It'll never happen because they're in division.
Minnesota. Agreed. Or Chicago, for that matter.
Or New Orleans.
Yeah, oh yeah.
New Orleans would do it. So, yeah, I mean, there's teams out there. Now, I don't know what the caps. I know the Saints have fixed a lot of their cap problems. I'd have to go look and see what they'd have to do. But that one would make sense. You know what?
Anybody in the NFC East?
Certainly the football team.
Yeah.
I think you put him on the football team, they're a contender. And
no, he's an upgrade over anybody in the NFC East.
I mean, although you've just married Dak, so that's not happening. But yeah, over Daniel Jones, yeah. And I'd be curious what the Giants would be with him. I don't know that they're contenders, but I bet they win the division. That's if he doesn't break.
Yeah.
Because he's about due to break again, too. That's the other thing. So, I think it'll be... It'd be interested to see if he actually forces things.
I've said this all along. Like, Aaron Rodgers has options outside of football. Like, he does. He could sit out. He could retire tomorrow, and it's not like he's going to be poor.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got...
Somebody would hire him to do commentary, no question. He could be a color guy.
I'll also say this. That chick is like into like moon rocks and like nature and stuff.
Shailene Woodley.
Yeah, she probably ain't trying to live in Green Bay, Wisconsin. She's like, hey, get traded to the Broncos, okay? Can we do that? I'll go to the Broncos. Like she seems like she might go to the Pacific Northwest.
Oh yeah, Seattle.
Yeah, there's some places she'd look at. But
she probably would love San Francisco.
How much do they both regret that the Rams already made the trade for Matt Stafford?
Oh.
Because being in L.A. with his Jeopardy career coming up and her film career in L.A., they would have much rather gone, hey, you know what, Rams, just pick me up.
I mean, the Rams might be the Super Bowl favorite had they gotten Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're...
And I think they made a call on him, if I remember right. When the first rumor started coming out, they made a call, and Gutekunst was like, nope, no way.
Aaron should have pushed the issue earlier then. He blew it.
Yeah, I think in part the Packers are basically just playing hardball with him. We're not trading your ass. You don't want to play. See ya. Kind of what the Texans should have done, but I do think Rodgers has earned a little more than Tal guy, but
a little more,
a little bit.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Stars Poker Club, guys. They got their first big event coming up on Saturday. That's going to be exciting. They've got for 10 straight hours, they're doing a guaranteed $500 drawing up there. It's Stars Poker Club up on Veteran Memorial, just north of the Beltway. And they've got Omaha going on. They've got No Limit Hold'em going on. No door fees. Great atmosphere. Knowledgeable staff. The GM, Bobby, if you tell him that I sent you up there, he'll give you a free $25 on your first $100 buy-in. There's going to be tons of money given away for free on Saturday. And, of course, there's going to be plenty for you to win up there, too. And they've got free food and beverages. And absolutely no door fees. No Limit Hold'em and Omaha games running right this minute. But again, you want to get up there for Saturday and get in on their grand opening event. You get a free $25 on your first $100 buy-in when you tell them I sent you. 281-272-6209 or starspokerclubs.com.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. I really like this song. All right. Let's wrap it up the way we do every Monday with a dumbass report. Can I throw one in there first?
Yeah, go for it, man.
Nick Caserio.
Well?
Dumbass!
That's all I got.
That's all? You're just leaving it at that, huh? All right. Well, that's not what I was going to go with, but that's all good. Let's start with... where should we start? All right. How about a man who's been arrested over a disco ball? A battle over a disco ball has a Jonesboro, Arkansas man facing residential burglary and robbery charges.
Hey, man.
Yeah. Clint Sterner, age... No, actually, it's Rodney Thomas. I read that wrong. 59 years old of Jonesboro, Arkansas, was arrested in connection with an April 25th incident at a home. Police said that officers went to the home after getting a call about an assault with a head injury. The victim states that Rodney Thomas approached him about a disco ball that he'd purchased from Thomas for $20, but he was wanting it back. The victim refused, and Thomas pushed him back into the apartment. Police said a person who was with Thomas then assaulted the victim. The victim had broken ribs and a cut to his head. After the assault, Thomas and the other person, who was not named, then left. He also faces a misdemeanor theft charge in this case. $10,000 ball. A $20 disco ball.
Well, and it's a disco ball.
You're going to go whoop somebody's ass over this?
Oh, my God.
What are we doing? Oh, this is sad. Sad day.
Sad.
And this happened here locally, I'm afraid.
Uh-oh.
A man was accidentally killed by a bullet from a relative's gun when a bar fight broke out in Texas. They were fighting Sunday night at Micheladas La Barria in the Houston area. One of the men began pistol whipping the other with a gun. He hit the guy with a gun, a bullet fired, and killed his relative.
Dumbass.
Luis Rivera, 24, died at the scene. His relative left in a 2009 silver Chevy Malibu, could be going to Laredo, they say. About 7 or 8 people were at the bar at the time of the shooting, and surveillance cameras caught it. But this is not a... listen, you go pistol whipping someone, you make sure the safety's on. This is gun safety 101. Everyone knows
that's
that.
That's a PSA.
I would say don't pistol whip people, but sometimes you've got
to. You know what? Late night in a bar, if you're getting to the point where you think you're going to pistol whip somebody, go home. That's all.
Yeah. A woman at a Missouri school district community forum has gone viral. A white woman is, she was breaking down. Administrators said they were getting angry emails about things that aren't even being taught in school from parents who were mad that anyone who was talking about white privilege, and the emails got so threatening that the school district had to, up security. This led to an angry community conversation last Friday where hundreds of parents, mostly white, calling for critical race theory to be banned from the curriculum, even though teachers and administrators didn't even know what critical race theory is. According to KSDK, one mother spoke about how her daughter allegedly feels regret for being white. She is one of the most innocent little girls in the whole world, and she has friends, black and white, in her classroom, and she doesn't see any difference. She said, "I have actually raised my kids to love people and accept people no matter what, and just because I don't want critical race theory taught to my children at school doesn't make me a racist, damn it." These people don't even know what critical race theory even is, says a writer named Skylar Ezell. They just heard Fox News tell them it was their newest boogeyman, and they lost their bleep over it. But there are now people that this video of this lady can be seen everywhere now, basically saying, she's crying. "I'm not a racist, damn it." Not a great look in front of the school board, I would say.
I don't get people. Ever seen a Missouri mule? Show me. Outlaw Josie Wales reference.
That is a good one. And let's go with, we got one more here. Nearly $1 million in drugs, guns, and Nazi paraphernalia were seized in a Pennsylvania drug bust. And this is where the guy says that the Nazi stuff does not make him a Nazi.
Okay, I believe
he's just a collector.
Oh, okay.
If you're a turd, it's going to come back to you.
Now, he had four assault rifles, 3 handguns, and various ghost gun parts, which are quickly becoming the weapon of choice for criminals and fueling the gun violence epidemic. But he said, like, you've got all these concerns. 21.5 pounds of meth, 1,275 doses of fentanyl. But he's basically the priority is letting people know that Nazi paraphernalia, that's just collectibles. I'm not a Nazi. He's an enthusiast.
But this fentanyl stuff, man, I don't get this. Yes. I really don't.
I don't get it either. It's very odd to me. And that's the dumbass report. I wanted to get into one more football related note before we hit the trail here today, and I need to attribute this to my guy Rod Babers, who's out there in Austin, and this is really an unbelievable stat. Last year in the 2020 draft, the greater Houston area had 13 draft picks. The Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex had 12. That was more than any other state besides Texas, obviously.
Right.
This year, the Houston area had 9, and these are where they went to high school at.
Right.
Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex had 15, combined to have more former high school players drafted in the draft than any other state besides Texas, who had 35, and Florida, who had 32 this year. So shout out to the Fish, first of all, but also shout out to Houston and Dallas putting
that's
in
funny right there.
9 players from Houston this year.
Shout out 13 to the Fish
last year. Boy, we're playing some good ball around here, I guess. That's what it boils down to. Over 13% of the draftees in the last 2 seasons played their high school football in Texas. Nearly 10% of all players in the last 2 years played in either the greater Houston or Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, well, that goes to show that we've got some kids who can play down here.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Carbach on the way out. You may have heard of Carbach for their delicious beers. You may have heard of Crawford Bach, which is delightful and great at the ballpark. You may have heard of Hopadillo, which you could find pretty much everywhere. You may have heard of Love Street, which is their bestseller. But did you know they're more than just beer now? They're in the seltzer game, the ranch water game, if you will. The agave lime, watermelon, prickly pear, and Meyer lemon. They're all delicious, and they're all available at a grocer or liquor store near you. And guys, I'm telling you, they are very good. The agave lime is great as a mixer. I like to mix it with tequila. Fred likes to mix it with vodka. Or they're great by themselves if you just want to crush a few. Very low carb, very low cal, just a nice secondary option. Make sure you go by the restaurant and try it. Have a great meal while you're there as well. Not bar food. I'm talking about a chef cooking great meals for you at this restaurant. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. Stop by and check it out. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And when you're out and about, grab yourself some Carbach.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.